Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and it's 1 minute before 10 o'clock. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Stage and Studio looks at two African-American stories being told on stage in Portland this month. And in this corner, Cassius Clay at Oregon Children's Theater and August Wilson's Two Trains Running at Pass and Art. And at 11:30, Radio Zine presents This Way Out, with a look at LGBTQ youth-led movements taking aim at pro-gun lawmakers. KBOO's Kickstarter is live. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter and help KBOO build a city of media makers. That's kboo.fm/Kickstarter. And now, after these announcements, is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 28th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 2nd through March 3rd. The Cascade Festival of African Films shows us Africa through the eyes of Africans, rather than a vision of Africa packaged for Western viewers. The films represent different countries and cultures and a range of lifestyles from pre-colonial to modern times, including both rural and urban settings. Films include 76 and The Footprints of Pan-Africanism and more at the Hollywood Theater, and The African Who Wanted to Fly, Foreign Bodies, Wulu, and many more at the Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, Room 104 at the PCC Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. Again, that's the 20th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 2nd through March 3rd. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Radio trains media makers. We believe community resilience happens when citizens learn how to make their own media. For the last 50 years, KBOO has trained thousands of citizen journalists to report on what goes on in the streets of Portland and far beyond. We know that with our expertise and your support, we can keep this city activated and aware through radio. Invest in Portland's future media makers and join KBOO on Kickstarter today.
Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. Donate to the campaign and share it with your friends. And thank you for your support of KBOO.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, February 27th, 2018, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Community, Sanctuary, Solidarity, and Mortality. We're all still breathing, our ears are have a pulse. We're at 97.fm and at kboo.fm, and that's right, we have priorities. Aside from continuing to breathe, continuing to live in these perilous times, there is work to be done. And it's the most difficult thing in the world, more difficult than the work itself, is having the courage to admit that the ways that we've worked before have had no results, basically, or results that are not enough to get us to anything that could be identified as our actual destination. If you're in a vehicle hurtling towards a cliff at 90 miles an hour, and you slow down to 70 miles an hour, you're still hurtling towards a cliff. That's the problem. New tactics to turn around or even to stop hurtling towards the hypothetical cliff, to stop would be better than to continue. Tactics haven't worked, and to admit that, although there what we can identify as certain certain goals achieved, events to celebrate along the way, we still are hurtling towards that cliff. And as I said, it is very, very difficult to have to find the courage to admit that what we're doing doesn't work and change directions and try something new. We live in very new times. We live in times that are functionally so different from the ways we've lived in the past as to be unrecognizable. We have some stories today. We've got some weather today. What we don't have today is a guest. I am working on bringing Barrett Brown to the KBOO airwaves, and I don't mean a pre-recorded piece of Barrett. I mean the whole deal. He is out of prison. He was in prison for about 3 years, long, hard years for someone like Barrett Brown, who is, if nothing else, certainly energy personified and brilliance, a brilliant mind, and behind bars that can flip either way, madness or deep self-examination. And Barrett Brown has emerged from prison utterly and completely and absolutely unrepentant. He is, if nothing else, he is far more radical than he was before he went into prison. So, of course, we can safely say that those years were not wasted, as they are often wasted on others who are a little weaker in spirit. So that said, we're going to keep on trying to bring Barrett to you, and right now, how about this for something not terribly radical unless you see it in the greater scheme of things. Weather for today, rain, snow likely, got a little snow in the outlying areas, and a high around 45, as if, and not much in the way, slight breezes wafting that snow around, and tonight, chance of showers. Could get a little snow, lows around 38, mid-30s in the outlying areas. For tomorrow, rain and a high around 48. Tomorrow night, continued rain and a low around 38. And we could get some wind, though, gusting up to 22 miles per hour. But wind or no wind is a 100% chance of rain. That's the weather, and now digging into it, and taking a look at some of the realities today that radicalize people like Barrett Brown, and it seems more and more likely that we ourselves, even those among us who consider ourselves radical, might want to rethink that, become even more so, and perhaps turn that engine around and face it in different directions, because really, I'm not kidding you, heading towards a cliff at 90 miles an hour and slowing down to 70 doesn't help. Maybe we might want to think that some of the celebrations, the accomplishments so far are terrific, but it would be but they're less helpful than to be heading in the right direction, however ponderously, at 20 miles an hour, and taking all the risks that implies. Yes, they are on our tail. Yes, it is the hour of the hoobug. Yes, we cannot afford the luxury of applying familiar, comfortable tactics. And here's why. Okay, well, the Supreme Court, and it's about as this is, this Supreme Court is about as far to the right as any that I've seen or had reason to examine it in any depth. The Supreme Court yesterday declined an unusual White House request. But think of in context, pretty much all of the White House's requests are not reasonable. The most reasonable request emanating from the White House these days is for a cheeseburger with chips. That's where we're starting from. So Trump wants to shut down DACA. We know that. And that, of course, put 700,000 plus young people who lack pieces of paper could be deported were it not for DACA. Well, we all know that. And the movement that these people, the Dreamers, could remain in a legal limbo for many months unless Congress acts to make their status permanent. So the Supreme Court's move will, as a practical matter, temporarily shield these people, the Dreamers, who already had signed up for the DACA program, from immediate deportation and allow them to keep working legally in the United States. Their status lasts for 2 years and is renewable. So the Supreme Court's decision not to hear the administration's appeal was expected, as no appeals court has yet ruled on the issue. The court's order was brief, gave no reasons, and noted no dissent. It said it expected the appeals court to proceed, here's the quote, proceed expeditiously to decide the case. Well, what's important here is that it foreshadows how SCOTUS is likely to handle Trump-related legal issues. And I mean that in a good way. Even this right-wing Supreme Court sees straight through Donald Trump. We see it time and again. To the point where maybe we shouldn't be surprised anymore. So, hero of the day, or certainly days last week, Adam Schiff, a Democrat from California, ripped President Trump for failing to criticize Russia for meddling in the 2016 election. Meddling in the election is just the start of it. Trump wanted to do something about these two buildings, houses, entities that were clearly the centers of Russian spying, the real estate types and the actual buildings. Trump got himself involved in the dispensation of these structures full of Russians with a burning curiosity to find out more about how we're doing as far as complying with Russian requests. So that little piece of real estate was not dealt with by the Trump administration in a way that benefited the United States. It was of great use to Russia, Vladimir Putin specifically. I'm sure the Russian people feel differently too about this, or feel nothing whatsoever. That said, here's Trump's latest on Russia. Aside from failing to criticize for the meddling and failing to even implement sanctions, which the sanctions were in place long ago. All he has to do is implement them, and he has failed to do so. He's so clearly, apart from meddling in elections, which Russia, we all know, we all should know, that Russia's been doing that for years. He's been doing that in Europe in elections and other strategic points around the world. So that should come as no surprise. The fact, though, that Trump is willing to be amenable to their requests for their real estate, of course, and also to avoid applying these sanctions, which are legally required. Here's the deal. Sorry for delay. This is at POTUS. Was on a plane back from Munich where General McMaster confronted Russia over its meddling, is what Schiff tweeted in response to Trump. I've always said Obama should have acted sooner, but you won't recognize the truth impose sanctions or act at all. If McMaster could stand up to Putin, why can't you? According to Schiff. The comment came after Trump tweeted about Schiff following news last week that the Justice Department was charging the 13 Russian nationals and 3 Russian organizations for interfering, allegedly, in elections. This from any other president in any other time would have been earth-shaking. It's earth-shaking now. It's just we don't feel the earth shaking at all, and therefore we're not prompted to act, because, God, it would be awful to have to come up with new tactics and admit that what we've done before is just not enough in these days, in these times. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, February 27, 2018. Judy Fiesel engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Judy. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Derek, and I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
The Sea. KABU hosts a monthly film series called KABU at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film Seed, The Untold Story, on Thursday, March 8th at 7 p.m. In the last century, 94 seed varieties have disappeared. 10 agrochemical companies control over two-thirds of the global seed market, reaping unprecedented profits. Seed, The Untold Story, is a documentary film following seed keepers and farmers who are defending the future of food. After the film, there will be a Q&A with film director Taggart Siegel and folks from the Pollinator Collective and Cultivate Oregon. Again, that's a film screening of the documentary Seed, The Untold Story. Thursday, March 8th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street.